Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Tomorrow, guys, we are live in Cumming. Come on out and join us. We'll be at Buffalo's Cafe right there off of 400. Looking forward to it, Mike. That's usually a lively spot, and there is a bar that's usually jumping before we even get started.
Two words. Day drinkers. Yeah, there's a lot of folks at the bar. It's on like Donkey Kong. So as I said on Twitter, man, whether you're still hanging, and some of those people will be hanging on the lake, I bet you that day, they're semi-retired, Carl.
Yes, they are.
Or you're just getting off of work. That is at Buford. That's 20 right off of 400. And that's where we'll be, guys, at the Buffalo's Cafe, Buford Highway and Cumming. And then as we mentioned real quick, programming note, Friday, if you're a dog fan or a Vols fan, heading to Knoxville, we're going to be right there, man, at Twin Peaks, Chattanooga. It's actually called East Ridge, Tennessee, Exit 1, first exit when you head into Tennessee off of 75.
Looking forward to it. And I know a lot of dog fans are making their way up there. Our buddy Connor Riley, Mike Griffith is going to join us. All those guys are going up for the game as well. They got a big thing they're going to be doing on a boat up there for Dog Nation. But it's going to be a fun game. I hope Saturday. We just need the dogs to show up and show us that they are who we think they are. And they have yet to do that. But we'll see. More on that coming up. As far as the Falcons, guys, let's get you caught up on the latest because today they practice. The big question coming in before Mike and I got here was what was going to be the deal with Drake London today, Mike, and I think this is good news, right?
Now, last week we did hear Darnell Mooney was practicing, but as Carl said, is he taking contact? Because and I don't think they're going to have any contact for a guy who's dealing with a shoulder, the AC joint, it was reported, but talking to our man Smoking Joe Patrick and Mark Raimondi, they said he looked pretty good out there, so now it's just a matter of, you know, I think pain maintenance, or I guess how they alleviate that pain on Sunday night, he'll get some treatment, but Darnell Mooney, I would imagine, is ahead of the schedule of where certainly Drake London is, Carl, because he just got injured on Sunday.
Right.
But Dave Archer told us yesterday he thought they'd both play, and right now it sounds pretty good.
Look, it's trending in the right direction. And as we started the show today, guys, we were saying it's Wednesday, plenty of time before Sunday night, but we need both of these guys if possible. Certainly Drake, right? I mean, right. Like if Darnell's still recovering from this thing that he's been dealing with, I can't be without both of these guys against the Vikings.
We had the debate. One of our listeners was like, well, Drake's not an explosive down the field guy. Well, Mooney does get the bigger chunks, but Drake certainly does things that Julio did too, moving the sticks, super athletic, catch radius, bailing his quarterback out. But as you said, Raheem Morris says Drake London and Darnell Mooney will be practicing, and he does feel that he does expect, Coach said, Drake London to play this weekend.
If you missed our conversation with Divine Diablo, guys, it'll be online, odyssey.com. Go check it out. Fun guy. He's enjoying his time here in the A. He's making plays, and look, he's versatile, man, and this is something I know that Raheem and certainly Jeff Ulbrich wanted to do in the offseason, improve our speed. Jalen Walker, James Pierce, you talk about upgrading athleticism. They want to do that at the linebacker position, but they also did it at the safety position and the nickel. So that is one of the reasons why they feel really good, and Divine Diablo is one of those guys. Great interview with him earlier last hour. If you missed it, go check it out. You will hear Raheem Morris coming up in less than 8 minutes from now. I want you to hear a couple of things. Zach Robinson spoke to the media today. This is our offensive coordinator, Z-Rob, as the guys call him. And, Mike, you've been talking about this pistol thing. So I want you to hear what he said because he was asked about it because everybody's like, yo, what are we doing?
Oh, stop using it.
So first thing is when he came to appreciate the pistol because they were talking about, you know, incorporating this into your offense. And then we're going to let you hear what he said on why they are so heavy in the pistol formation because I know some Falcon fans are frustrated with this on Sunday, specifically short yardage, right? That's the most thing I think folks were talking about. Here's Zach Robinson, first of all, about the pistol itself.
I first started getting into the pistol with the Rams in 2023. We started doing it. It felt like it kind of loosened things up. We felt like we could get to every run, play pass, quick game, drop back concept out of it. But like you mentioned, it does get the ball in our runner's hands a tick quicker there. Just making sure that the actions match up with it is the biggest thing. But yeah, all those things go into it. Obviously, the faster that we can get number seven and obviously Tyler the ball in their hands so that they can see the proper cuts and those things with the stretch of the wide zone and being able to cut some of those things back when we need to is definitely part of it.
Okay.
The downside, though, and again, this is something you know we talked about, when you have your running back there in the shotgun in short yardage, you're telegraphing exactly where he's going. The linebackers, you know, your front seven, if not, you know, the front four or three, can see where you're going with it. That's why, and I get it, you know, if you have an eye formation, there's still anticipation, you know where the back's going. I just think sometimes short yardage, I'd rather have the quarterback, Michael Penix, doing a quarterback sneak. And we saw his athleticism on display already this season and last season.
No doubt. Zach Robinson on why we, the Falcons, were so heavy in the pistol and the usage of it, at least in game one. Guys, game to game, is we don't know how much we'll use it this week, but what he's telling you is this a part of this offense. We are going to see it.
Not going away.
Here's Zach Robinson.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, week to week, depending on who we're playing, the schemes that we're, you know, building, you know, a lot of stuff, everything is built through the run game. But I think the pistol does keep you pretty balanced from a run-pass standpoint. Obviously, you know, in the offset gun, there's tendencies to throw the football. And so being able to stay completely balanced with what we're doing is what we're trying to do. From a run, play action, keeper, screen, all those things that come with it. And, again, it's part of our offense. We'll pick our spots when we need to go under. But our guys feel comfortable with it. Our quarterback feels very comfortable in it, knowing that that's the way he operated mostly in Washington. So, but again, week to week on what that is, depending on what we're seeing on the other side of the football and some of the stuff we're trying to activate from a run game and moving forward.
Guys, I think that's another big part of this. Let's not try to make our guy do something he may not be as comfortable doing when he had monster success in college in this type of formation. I'm not telling you that it's always going to be that way, but I also think this is why they are attempting to do more of this, because Penix is comfortable. We got to be more productive out of it. If we're going to do it, Mike, that's the thing. We have to be more productive in these pistol formations. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I just felt, and we talked to Michael Penix Jr. about this as a rookie, and he said that's something he had worked on pre-draft, is being under center, more of it. But that's why, you know, Jared Goff, a whole generation of quarterbacks are all in shotgun, whether it's shotgun or the pistol formation where the back is next to you. So that's how they're seeing the field. I just think, you know, when you're in the NFL, you've got to be able to develop play action. And I think play action is such a key. I think we saw, you know, Matt Ryan was so good at it. And again, different offense, different coordinator. But when you've got a guy like Bijan, to be able to freeze a corner or freeze some of those linebackers for a half a count, because the play action does that. That, to me, it's got to be a bigger part of our offense. Maybe it's never going to be. And I think that's a disservice, but that's Zach's prerogative.
All right. One other thing I want to play for you in talking about our quarterback, and Zach answered a lot of stuff today, talking about, you know, we didn't run the ball well, guys. We just didn't. If we don't run the ball well on Sunday night, we become one-dimensional, and now you're asking Penix to do damn near everything, and that's hard. I don't care who your quarterback is. So we got to do a better job of that. That starts up front, and I'm not specifically talking about Elijah Wilkinson. The line itself, we just didn't have any push. 69 yards, guys, total, between Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson? That's not enough.
No.
So here is Zach, though, and Big O, play this, if you would, about Penix and Zach Robinson, our OC, saying we have to be better around him. I thought the way that he phrased this was perfect, because you keep looking for words to describe Michael Penix, and it's this competitive greatness thing that he uses here in this soundbite.
Thought he played really well with everybody. There's a couple things here and there to clean up, but overall really pleased with where, you know, Mike is at right now, and we'll just continue to build this thing. And like I said, we got to play better around him. We got to coach better in all facets and make sure that everything is clean around him, because we feel great with where he's at.
Yeah, and in clutch time, he was saying, you know, like, you just saw his competitive greatness come out. He refuses to lose, right? He's going to give you everything. That's why the way he sold out in those moments where he got those first downs or even the touchdown was such a big moment for us on Sunday against the Bucks.
Hey, man, just a sidebar to our kicking situation right now, and you'll hear what Coach Rye had to say. We asked some questions about just what is this competition this week with a new kicker coming in, Parker Romo, who's kicked in the NFL and has also kicked in spring football. The 49ers signed Eddie Pinero.
Okay.
And this is reported by Nick Wagner, who covers the 49ers for ESPN, said he was getting ready to go to Atlanta before the 49ers called. Said he had the choice between the two spots, but felt the Niners presented the better opportunity. Well, yeah, because Moody's gone.
Correct.
I mean, you're going to pretty much
get
the job, as opposed to maybe we're dragging our feet with Koo, or Koo still has a chance to, and he's making $4 million. But anyway, Pinero signs with the 49ers.
Interesting. So bottom line with that, Falcon fans, is there were multiple calls.
Right.
They called a lot of folks to try to figure out who they were going to bring in. But, you know, at the end of the day, I said, we'll figure it out at the end of the week. At least Ra told us that that's what he's saying. They'll make an announcement or whatever as to what's going to be the situation. I'm just going to tell you guys, don't be surprised if it's Coup Sunday night. Just don't. It shouldn't surprise you if it is. If it's the other way, it's probably even more surprising to me because that means Coup didn't kick well this week and he probably lost his gig. That would be more surprising to me. So that's kind of where we are with our kicking situation.
A couple guys hit us on the text line. They agree with you and I about the pistol formation. But one guy says, look, that's Penix's strong suit. You've worked with it. You can still fake a handoff out of the pistol. I mean, it's not like you can't do some play action. But you know what I'm talking about, Carl.
Yep.
Under center, you know, dropping back, kind of work that. Other guys, and we talked to Coach Ra, you'll hear him talk about how well Pitts looked. We talked about that with Dave Archer yesterday. How big is Pitts going to be? Because – you know, if the designation is limited in practice today for Mooney and for Drake London, I'll ask it again. Based on what you saw in the fourth quarter, can Pitts does that for four quarters? He's over 100 yards. He's probably in the end zone, and he's the hero.
Easy, yeah, absolutely. Look, I think again, this offense we haven't seen the full capabilities because you don't have all the components out there,
right?
So,
and you can't run the ball the way you want to right now.
We didn't last week.
I don't know how much changes this week.
Well, I hope I hope we can. I mean, look, the focus has to be on, first of all, we didn't go away from it. I mean, again, I kind of felt we did, Mike. I think Bijan had 12 carries and Tyler had 10 or something of that nature. 24 carries total. Shouldn't we be putting up 35, 38 carries? Like, the commitment to run it, but the problem was – the way the game played out, it just didn't allow us to continue to try to do that. And then the ball came, you know, you had the ball in Penix's hands to try to finish this thing. Either way, I hope we do try to run it against the Vikings. We mentioned this earlier, and I think it's a big point of contention. They're two linebackers. One has a concussion. He's in concussion protocol. The other has a hamstring.
Right.
They are both out. And part of this is the concussion protocol. Very unlikely that Van Ginkel comes back before Sunday night. And their other starting linebacker, again, he's been out. They knew he was going to be out already. So that is something I think you got to attack that, Mike. You got to figure out whether they can – these guys can get off blocks and tackle or not.
And, hey, I mean, I know it's always funny because fans will feel like it's a Madden game. We just take away Justin Jefferson. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But it would certainly, you would think, he would draw more attention. You know, again, when we're in the nickel and the dime, we're in the nickel so much anyway. But as you guys know, no Jordan Addison. He's suspended for the DUI or the alcohol suspension. Meanwhile, you know, you've got a team that, you know, they're coming off the Bears game, though. That's the thing I said to you yesterday. Feeling pretty good about their quarterback. Maybe, you know, if he stinks it up for the fourth quarter, hey, you know, he's looking in the mirror. Can I do this job? I don't know. He comes out of there feeling like 10 feet tall, right?
Yeah.
So I was hoping the Bears were going to see it through, if nothing else, to, you know, maybe they're a little shaky on Sunday. He goes to a Sunday night raucous crowd, that stupid Viking horn. It's going to be bananas.
I hate that horn. I just
I mean, it's cool.
No, it
I
is.
Mean, don't get me wrong.
If I was
cool.
a Vikings fan, but I don't want to hear it all Sunday night because that means we're losing.
I can tell you, you and I have been to almost every NFL stadium. No, again, that's the Patriots. Patriots play. They play the horn, which is the aliens from War of the Worlds, which is intimidating and scary. But in Minnesota, I got to tell you, of all the places I've watched professional sports, that's the nicest people.
Oh, no.
When we beat the Vikings in the 98-99 season NFC Championship, I told Carl, walking out of there, Steak and I and the guys, people coming, best of luck in the Super Bowl now. I mean, can you imagine anybody in Philadelphia saying that?
No.
They won beat the Falcons, and I had a guy tell me to go blank myself, leaving the game.
Absolutely.
Minnesota, they're arguably the nicest fans in the NFL.
And that's a nice stadium. I mean, if Falcon fans are going up, for those who are going up, it's a cool stadium, and Mike's right. They'll treat you right, but it's going to be loud, man. They get into these games, and if the Vikings are rolling, and last year, again, that's a 14-win team, they feel like they might be on the verge of something like that this season, the way J.J. brought them back the other night.
Lambeau's so, like that, too.
It is. Right. There's no doubt. Certain places around the country, especially in the Midwest. Hey, man, we're coming back. Raheem Morris, what did he have to say to us and say about this team after what I felt like, what many of you felt like should have been a win on Sunday? But how do we turn the page, man? We got a lot of work to do as we get ready for Minnesota on Sunday night. Stay there. Raheem Morris next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Coach Raheem Morris with us live.
Yes, Coach, health update. Number one concern, I think, for Falcon fans, especially after seeing Drake leave. Everybody that was at the game, we were all like, okay, Drake doesn't leave games, so this must be serious. And we were all kind of freaking out at the end of the game, despite what the income was, you know, or the outcome. Tell us an update, if you could, on not only Drake, but also Darnell Mooney, because we know he didn't play on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, Drake obviously left the game at the end there, took the hit. You know, whatever happened to his shoulder, and you know, but he was able to practice the day full, so he was able to go out there and do everything that we asked him to do. You know, limited, but
sure.
Basically, everything that we do, everything that he was required to do, we can go out there and do, which was a promising sign. We feel good about his toughness. We feel good about who he is, and we feel good about him being able to play. You know, obviously, those things happen in the game and happen at a critical moment for us. But you know, our young guys stepped up and kept fighting and gave us a chance to win. You know, and obviously Mooney, you know, was really close last week. You know, obviously I'm still saying day to day everybody,
sure,
but
right.
I feel comfortable with him. You know, went out there in practice, got a lot of things done today. You know, he's feeling good. He's bouncing around, looking like Mooney, looking at himself. So really excited about all those guys.
Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. What a dynamic start, man, with your dynamic playmaker, Bijan Robinson, taking it to the house. And then it just seems like we got to a bit of a lull. Is what you expected? How would you rank the offensive line's performance? We know that Vita Vea is a force. And did you get – obviously, we didn't get the run game probably where you wanted it.
You know, we clearly talked about that as a group, as a staff, with our guys. You know, it was, you know, tell the truth Monday when you get a chance to come in. And we didn't play well enough on the offensive line. And it's not just the offensive line, around the offensive line, all of the guys, whether you're talking about the tight end position blocking and receiver position blocking, us getting our run game going. Mm-hmm. We really got to figure out that and get that going, which I know we can. Really confident we can do those things. We didn't do all the right things you want to do on a short yardage and goal line situations. We could have made that a lot easier for us, as opposed to seeing the Superman plays by Michael Penix right. on the fourth and two or the fourth and goal. Whatever the case may be, we can make that a lot easier with the dynamic running backs that we have, with the upfront people playing the right way and the right style. And we got to get that corrected this week. And that's at the forefront of our mind. Make no mistake about that.
Coach, you watch the tape. Evaluate the rookies. I thought Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman balled out. But as a group, I mean, we're seeing obviously Jalen, we're seeing JP, you know, James Pierce Jr. As a group, what did you think about the rookies after watching the tape?
So, you know, when you talk about those two guys, they stood out because they were in a position to make plays on the football, particularly Watt. You know, we're almost talking about the rookie of the week with two interceptions. We miss one, they go for a touchdown, we drop another one. He made some other significant plays throughout the game, whether it was tackles or things of that nature. But you're talking about when you put those rookies out there, they're going to make plays. But when you get in position to make that many plays, you're doing something right. Mm. And Billy Bowman the same. He was a force in the box, making plays, you know, got the sack and a half, was got the half a sack for us on some of his pressure things that we talked about. He was able to go in there and really fit the run for us, do some really good thing. Had some coverage opportunities, had a tough coverage on that late crosser on third down or whatever that case was. But he is everything that we thought about, everything that we argued. And then for the front people, we really had that role that we talked about, right? I mean, I think everybody in the D-line probably had 30 snaps, and it was a significant role in there. And we had top five in pressures on the quarterback this week, and we had one sack, and we missed a critical sack in that two-minute drive that would have won the game for us.
Right.
And those are the things that was the outlying point of the defense, not even just the rookies. We had the most miss-ops that we probably can have, and we still had an opportunity to win that football game. So we can clean up some of those things, eliminate some of the miss-ops, whether it be drop interceptions or whether it be sack opportunities that we had.
Right.
We can do a lot of really good things. Not to mention, Baker made some heck of a plays coming out the backfield. Particularly on third down when he was running using his legs. You know, I mean, I think he had about 100 yards passing up until that last 2 minutes, and he made a bunch of plays with his feet on third down and long and third down and short. And those are the things we got to eliminate and stop the guys from doing.
Raheem Morris with us, guys, live from Falcons camp. And that's the thing, we spent a lot of time yesterday and today about finish rate. And, you know, you always say stats are for losers. Who cares? Got to get there. But are there things you see that from the D-line coaching up or just working with Pierce and Jalen and Leonard Floyd that, hey, because Leonard Floyd's an OG. He knows what to do. But these guys can work on it, and it will get better, and they will get there.
I think they're going to be great. You know, it's promising for me to see the people get up there, to see Baker have to move out of the spot, have to run, have to use his legs. Now we got to make sure we rush with the right integrity to lanes and things of that nature. We got to rush with the vision and the violence that's required to get the quarterback on the ground. And we got another great opportunity this week, especially with this kid coming in.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Kevin O'Connell. Your relationship, unique. I mean, you guys won big together. For those who don't know, Kevin O'Connell was the OC, you were the DC, and you guys won a Super Bowl together. Raw, what is it about him? And because, look, we watched this game the other night. He calmed his quarterback down. It went from being complete, you know, hot mess to all of a sudden his quarterback looked like he had played in the league for 10 years. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. I'm talking about Kevin O'Connell. Deserves a lot of credit for that. Talk about your relationship with him.
He should always get credit for anything that was that's required and talked about being poised. You know, you're talking about a guy that's really comfortable in his skin. And no matter what's going on around him, he's going to remain the same guy. He's going to have that same calm presence that he's always had. You know, when we were in L.A. together, that was really a major part of his role, is keeping everybody calm on offense, being able to deliver information and communicate at a very high level, which he did. And he's always going to be that way, even calm, poised guy. Got a lot of command over everything that he does. Really smart, sharp, articulate, really knowledgeable in the offense and the defense side of the ball. Like, you're talking about one of the best, and I got so much respect for my good friend Kevin O'Connell.
Do you feel like you're facing Sean's offense, Sean McVay, guys, when you face Kevin's offense?
So here's the deal. You know, they all worked with Sean at one time or twice. And for Kevin O'Connell's chance, they worked together twice. So they worked together in Washington, and they worked together in L.A. But they all have their own little spin, their own identity, all of these guys. Whether you're talking about Zach Robinson, whether you're talking about Kevin O'Connell, whether you're talking about any of these guys that have left L.A. and going on to do different things. You know, there's things that we've all taken from John Gruden. There's things that we've all taken from all our walks of life. You know, he had Bill Belichick that he coached him and did some different things. So, like, people that he's been around, you take those things and you acquire those things and you put them together, and he's come out and become his own self. So, like, you know, is he going to be all 11 like Sean? No. He's going to be multiple. He's going to move around, get some different personnel groupings, do some different things, some different type of plays. The one thing they all have in common is they all look at each other's tape. I can tell you that.
Right. A lot of, yeah, similarities.
Right. And we certainly anticipate, you know, Brian Flores trying to throw some looks at Penix. Mike's going to have to adapt to. All these games in the NFL seem to come down to one possession. The kicking situation, the general manager brings in the competition. You judge the competition. Lenny Krieg came in. We didn't feel like that was a guy that had NFL experience, but he gave it a shot. What about this week with John Parker Romo? How's that looking as far as pushing coup and what's going to take to get somebody else in there?
You know, as far as Lenny's, you know, talking about our developmental player who came in here with a big, powerful leg, who showed us something, you know, really impressive. You know, probably not at that point yet, but a developmental player that you got a lot of, you know, A lot of stuff going on with him, right? And then you bring in a veteran this week, obviously, because of the miss. You know, let's not skate around the obvious. You don't bring in another veteran if you don't have that miss. You know, but the confidence that we gained over the summer with Koo going 90% as we all watched throughout the summer, as we all looked at that, the change in the body, all the things that he did, the work that he put in. And then he went out and had a disappointing performance, right? And that starts the noise all over again. And that's the kind of noise you got to embrace as a coach, as a player.
Right.
And I talked to Koo, and I told him there's only a couple guys that go through that. Me, you, Michael Penix, and sometimes the tackle.
Right.
They don't block.
Right.
And nobody else can relate unless you play golf. So other than that, man, you got to either put the noise behind you, go out there and embrace the competition and trying to find a way to win, or you don't. And that's where we're at. And we'll let those guys keep competing.
Right.
You know, it started today. By no means is it over. But we'll go out and we'll give our best chance. We got to give the Atlanta Falcons the best chance to win.
Were you disappointed that he left and didn't talk to the media on Sunday?
You know, it's tough. You know, I am disappointed because he's disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointed with him, not disappointed about it. You know, but for him, that's he's bigger than that. It just wasn't it wasn't the time for him, right? And like, he had to walk away. And sometimes those things happen with players, and you got to deal with that. And I want to walk away sometimes, but I can't. You know, I have people that I lean on. I have people that I can talk to, particularly people here in this building, and particularly our owner. And right there, he didn't have that. And I feel bad that I wasn't there for him to give him that. And I wish I was there to know that he had the intention of walking away if I'd had the opportunity to talk to him.
You are saying, Coach, you will make a decision by the end of the week on one of these guys?
The best part about it is you got the entire week. You got all the way up until, you know, obviously Saturday. Right. So we'll take all the time that's necessary to make those decisions to find out who's going to be our kicker. And we're going to make the right decision. We're going to make it based off their performance, nothing else.
Can I ask you one more thing in regards to Young Wei Koo? It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of times it's mental. You've been in this game a long time. Mechanics, these guys kick, kick, kick. It's like a golf swing, right? So is it mental? Because as fans, we're going, okay, what's the deal? And then we heard Young Wei Koo speak, I think it was yesterday or maybe, and he said, you know, I was kicking on the turf at the field, and it was just one of those weird things where it didn't sound like he felt like his footing was right. Mechanics, mental, where are we at?
I'm not going to, you know, get into the mechanics of kicking the ball. I'm a terrible golfer.
Okay.
As you guys know. But, and it's very similar to that type of stuff, right? And how you place it, where you put it, where you slice it, all of those things. For me, does it go in, does it not? And he was talking about it, and for him it sounds like a misstep in his mechanics.
Okay.
And I'll let him explain those mechanics, and the person that coaches him explain those mechanics. I'm not even going to pretend that I can do that or know enough about it. We know the results, and that's what's critical to us. If you can fix them, you can fix them. If you can't, you can't. And the mental part, I don't think it is with him because he has the ability to articulate it and talk about it. Usually when it's mental, you don't know.
Right.
He's searching for answers. And it sounds like he has some of the answers. Now you got to go to apply it.
Right. As we said, it's just such a unique skill set that only one guy knows what's going on with it. Hey, on a positive tip, Pitts looked great. I thought Pitts, from where I was sitting, you got the 22 film, but looked like he was doing almost everything you needed. Was it something maybe Zach could work on? Because there's a connection between Drake, certainly, and Michael Penix, but it's almost like there's even more for Pitts out there if Mike can see him.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, Pitts had a really promising offseason, and it's hard to say it because all that we've talked about over the years, right? Everybody waiting for this constant disappointment. And it's like, if he can continue to stay in the mindset that he's in, and Michael Penix continue to find him and the work that they put in showed out, it's more out there. There is more out there. But there's more out there for us in general, right? I mean, I think they threw for 300 yards or whatever the case may be, and we ran for 60 or whatever the case may be, and Michael Penix went out there in a two-minute drill and performed as well as you can possibly perform, particularly those last three drives.
Right.
There's more out there, right? There's more out there. There's a couple incomplete passes that we had to Mike that we went back, that Mike had to Penix that pitch that we
right.
went back. And we can go out and get those things. This is why I don't do radio. This is why you guys are not.
No, you do a good job. You do a good job. Raheem Morris joining us, guys. Getting ready for the Vikings Sunday night. Prime time. And, you know, look, statistically, we dominated the game. When you look at time of possession, first downs.
Stats are for losers.
We didn't win the game.
Held the Bucs 140 yards below their average.
Okay, so the Bears did the same thing against the Vikings. When you look at the numbers.
Stats are for
right?
losers.
So we go to Minnesota Sunday night. What do we need to do?
Win. We need to go out there and figure out how to take advantage of the miss ops and make those ops this week, right? We had about five drop picks, if you're really hard, if you're really critical. You can add it up to three that we definitely should have had. We got to find a way to get those sacks and get them on the ground, the extra ones that we left out there. We probably missed about two or three sacks. If you can make the plays and find a way to make those plays, you put yourself in better position to go out there and win. And when you talk about offense, if you can go out there and establish the run game that you're very comfortable doing and be able to get some of those things off and be able to run the ball like you need to run it and to be able to complement them with the nice passing game that we were able to put out there last week, to be able to go out there and put our normal special teams performance together, which is usually making plays for us. You know, how many games did we win last year? We blocked a punt where we recovered a touchdown in the end
right.
zone.
Not a great special teams game?
No, we did not have a great special teams game. We gave a big return. We gave a big miss and field goal block. I mean, field goal, you know,
right.
it was a tough day for us mm-hmm. when it came to special teams. But I got a lot of accountability in those guys to bounce back as well, you know. Like, and it was just across the board. It wasn't just the kick. You know, we don't give up returns the way we did this game, and that happened.
Right. And then real quick, just to finish out a positive, what you got from Billy Bowman and from Xavier Watts. You touched on a little bit. Some interceptions were there to be taken from, you know, and Kate Nellis was so close on a couple of plays, but I thought the rookies looked really good.
Yeah, you've got about Devine. He was close on one.
Yeah.
We had Watt close on two. We had Caden close on a pick six. We had Caden miss a sack. We had, you know, the uncharacteristic mistake by one of the all-time greats. We had a bunch of different things go out there that could have turned out really well. But the two rookies play well, man. You know, two rookie getting those positions to make those plays is significant, and those things are really critical for our success.
Raheem Morris, let's go get one on Sunday. These are chapters, guys. Mm-hmm. All right, we can't get too caught up in it. Rod, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you soon.
Well, look, a lot to digest, and we will come back and digest it because the kicking thing, again, still concerning me. He says he thinks it's more physical than mental, which is good. But we got some work to do Sunday night. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flower Branch.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Raheem Morris for stopping by, as always, on Wednesdays, your exclusive coverage of the Falcons here on Dukes and Bell. And thanks to Divine Diablo, if you missed that interview, very fun dude.
That's Divine Diablo. Good dude.
Who stopped by earlier in the show. A couple of things that we want to fill you in on before we get out of here at 6. And, of course, Chris has got the night show. Lots of stuff to get to for him. We find out that one of our wide receivers has a concussion?
Yeah, and you and I were just trying to figure out what had happened. Was that when they had the pass breakup, when Antoine Whitfield came over and broke up that ball that we thought he maybe should have caught? Talking about Casey Washington.
He laid on the field a while, yeah. Remember?
Yeah, number 82. But Day-Day, I don't know if that was the specific contact.
So I do, if I remember correctly, and oh, maybe you can jump in as well, I do feel like he came out after that
play.
But then I remember him, if I'm not mistaken, he was back in a few plays later and made a catch.
Okay.
Either way, founds out that he's getting concussion protocol, and we know that one of the Vikings linebackers, right, is in the concussion protocol. So that generally means if it was a Monday night game, there's just no way you're going to make a Sunday, it sounds like. But Casey Washington, the concussion, so he didn't participate. Official listing, coach said he expects Strickland, he thinks Strickland will play, but Mooney and London officially were limited today. So they were in pads,
okay.
But there's no contact for those two. James Pierce is also limited with a groin, as you say in Texas.
Okay, and he, again, considering getting to and around and being where he needed to be, he did a great job. We as a team didn't get enough sacks, didn't get enough of the finishing moments, and Ra talked about that with us, this hour, as you heard that conversation from earlier in the day. I just feel like, man, we're going to get a lot better in that area. And here's the other thing. We didn't blitz a whole lot. The one time we blitzed, Mike, we got home. But we didn't blitz Baker a whole lot because of his escapability.
But if you're looking for trends compared to last year with Jimmy Lake, I saw the number. We blitzed 10% more. Our blitz rate was higher than certainly any time last year for the Falcons. So that's Jeff Ulbrich already. You see his fingerprints on this. And as I said to you, I think you and I talked about it Monday. I don't like if I've got a guy like that, I'd rather lose the game blitzing and being aggressive than sitting back in a zone and getting carved up because I'm not getting there with the down lineman pressure.
Yeah, and by the way, you saw McCarthy's scrambling ability on Monday night.
He can move.
He can move. You got to stay in your passing lanes or your rush lanes and make sure that we keep him contained. Hey, man, as we are just kind of recapping some of the things that went down today here at Flowery Branch inside the Ticketmaster Studios, I think the main thing, and a lot of you are saying, is the kicking situation resolved? The answer is no. It is not. This is going to be an ongoing thing all week. Raheem said they are out there kicking kicking at practice, and they'll kick tomorrow and Friday at practice as well.
Right. Parker Romo is the dude's name. Who is it? Eddie Pinero, the often-traveled Eddie Pinero, signed with the 49ers. I talked to Carl about it earlier. The quote from the ESPN San Francisco 49ers reporter was, he had been contacted by the Falcons, thought it was a better opportunity. Yeah, it's a better opportunity when one team has a kicker, another one doesn't have a kicker. Because for those who don't remember, the 49ers cut Moody after he had a horrible day against the Seattle in a game they had to squeeze in and get the win. So if Romo, I don't know. I don't know where this is at. It's tough to ask coaches. We tried to get inside a kicker's head. It's a very scary place.
No, it is.
That's what makes guys like Morton Anderson and Matt Bryant. You realize how good these guys were and how solid they were for this team. And we thought we had the same thing with for 3 years.
We did.
Until it wasn't.
Yeah. Look, it's hard. Sustainability at that position, Mike, is hard. Like, if you get a guy kicked really good for you for 5 years, you're blessed. Right? I mean, like, most of these kickers just don't last long because of the stuff we're talking about.
We had Jay Feely back in the day. I mean, after Morton, we went through a number of years with
a bunch of kickers.
Matt Prater was
That's right.
I mean, I remember the 07, the lost year with Petrino. Yeah, it was like musical chairs at kicker.
You're trying to find that guy. So, for as consistent as Koo has been, we have been, seriously, we've gotten really lucky. But now, is this wobble the end? Or is it just a wobble? And that is my concern. Like, you know, you can ignore it, but I can't. I can't sit here and tell you, like, I'm in full confidence that Sunday, if he does roll back out there, and he might. I said I won't be surprised. I'd be more surprised if it's the other guy that's in town, you know, trying to kick in and take his spot. But I think more than anything, Mike, that's got to be certainly a small concern. It is not the biggest concern, Mike, if we can't run the ball, push the ball down the field, or stop the run against the
right.
Vikings. It's
and
not the biggest
concern. By the way, Falcons blitz rate, yeah, I was looking for the numbers. Because if nothing else, Carl, I'd like to be accurate. Mark Raimondi, I think Joe had this, Juju Patrick. Falcons blitz rate week one was 32.4%. Last season was 26.9%, second lowest in the league. And while I'm throwing more numbers at you, as Coach likes to remind us, stats are for losers.
Michael, we didn't get any results.
Michael Penix Jr., 42.3% of his snaps from the pistol.
Yep.
I'm not a fan. Understand he had it in college in week one. Mark Raimondi reminds us by far the most in the NFL. The second closest was Jalen Hurts last Thursday night at 19.4%.
Well, that shouldn't surprise anybody. Let me remind you guys. I know it's we all have short memories. The same stat was given last year when Kirk Cousins started the game week one.
And we hated it then, too.
And how much we were in the pistol
right.
more than anybody else in the NFL. And everybody said, why the hell are we in the pistol? This is what
that's his offense.
This is what we're going to do. So it's not just Michael Penix. If you went back and looked at how much we were in the pistol percentage-wise in week one of last year, I guarantee you guys are going to be like, oh, wow, we were talking about that.
Right. And for those – we're not talking about like one of the horrible things that Paul Stanley used to say all the time in Kiss, Carl, on stage when they'd sing Love Gun. He'd always do this rap day-day. I went to see the doctor the other day. She said, Gene, Paul, need to see your pistol. That's not a pistol. That's my Love Gun. Like, yeah. You know, that was lame when I was 10.
Yes.
And it was certainly lame when I was 50. I shouldn't be going to Kiss concerts in my 50s. But the pistol for guys at home, most of our audience knows it. It's the shotgun with the running back next to you, basically.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And the purpose, as you heard, maybe you didn't, Zach Robinson addressed it today saying he picked up on this when he was with Sean McVay, and they were running it, and it gives the running back a better chance to get the ball in his hands quicker and make decisions and cuts at a lot faster rate. Listen, all these guys are trying to scheme up and create things to help their teams and their players, but we're not the only ones running it. But I just – here's my question, and it's not just about the pistol because it's not going anywhere for us.
Right.
The short yardage situation.
That's my concern. And that's let me do a better job of explaining or framing the argument. I understand. Carl just laid it out. That's our offense. That's our identity. In short yardage, though, should it be the constant? That's where I want to see Michael Penix. Michael Penix Jr. has shown you the athleticism. He gets to the goal line. He extends his body. He can do a quarterback sneak.
Yep.
When we've got a foot and a half to get, I don't want a running back 5 yards off the line. Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's the part. Hey, tomorrow, Mike, we are incoming.
Yeah, man. We're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe up 400 way, Buford Highway, where 20 intersects with 400. Just down the street, we'll be at Buffalo's Cafe with some great listeners. Chris Pugh is one of our audience that shows up every time we're there. He sent us, you and I, the video the other day of him getting so frustrated, he rips the Falcon flag down off his porch and puts a Georgia flag up to get ready for the Tennessee game.
He did.
He javelined his Falcons flag and then later picked it up. Let that flag hit the ground. But, yeah, we'll see him and all those knuckleheads up there at, again, Buffalo's Cafe. And don't forget, Friday, we're going to be, if you're heading up for Knoxville for the Georgia Bulldogs, taking on the Vols, that's going to be Twin Peaks, the mother. We could call that the mothership of Twin Peaks. Huge store, exit one. First exit into Tennessee off of 75.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man, next few days. But tomorrow, come on out if you're in the coming area. And, again, right there off of 400 is where we'll be. All right, man, we got to get out of the way. Turtle's got the night show coming up. I'm sure he's going to dive into a bunch of things that Rod told us, and including Divine Diablo, who joined us as well. If you missed any of the interviews, again, online at odyssey.com. Big O, let's clear our throat. Day-Day, great job up here, as always, at Flowery Branch. Big shout-out to G-Money, our on-site engineer, and the Falcon staff, and everybody who always helps us and makes things so accommodating. We always have fun up here. We'll be up here the rest of the season, guys. If you're new to the show, we bring you this exclusive stuff up here every Wednesday, getting a chance to talk to Coach, different players throughout the course of the year. Sunday night, more on that coming up because the Vikings are going to be a big test. We'll continue to count down and find out where our team is with the injuries and all of that tomorrow as well. We are also going to go behind enemy lines tomorrow and talk to a guy that covers the Vikings and knows that team really well. What are they really good at right now with J.J. McCarthy? We're going to find out tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. B-Mac's going to join us as well to talk all things NFL. Big show tomorrow and coming from Buffalo's Cafe. All right, Mike, we got to get out of the way, man. Let's clear our throat.
Hey, man, we were talking about it yesterday, and a little more clarification from Brian Snitker. We saw from Mark Bowman from MajorLeagueBaseball.com that apparently Snit's got some time to think about what he wants to do himself. Now, sure says like he's got some energy, and he's still got dedication to the game. But we were trying to figure out, is he coming back or isn't he? Because Alex made it sound like they were putting him out to pasture, but didn't say definitively what's going to happen. They were going to have a meeting. But Brian Snitker, I tell you what, if you had to deal with all those injuries and now Ronald Acuna struggling, maybe it's time to go hit some golf balls. If he even does that. He's a lifer for baseball, but it sounds to me like we might not get any clarification on that, which means we also may miss out on some other candidates for a job if he decides to walk away.
Lamar Jackson has apologized to a Buffalo Bills fan that he shoved in relation to what happened on Sunday night. You missed it? Well, he throws a touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins in the third quarter. Fan wearing a red Bills jersey initially hit Hopkins on the helmet before doing the same to Lamar.
Right.
And Lamar immediately delivered a two-hand push that sent the fan falling backwards. Lamar said, look, it just happened. But here's his message. Just chill next time. I don't mind you booing me, talking trash, but keep your hands to yourself. I agree with him. This isn't the zoo, guys. These guys are men, and they are professional athletes. Your ticket price doesn't give you a chance to slap anybody in the helmet or tackle them on the field, all right? That's not your job. I don't think Lamar should apologize, but I understand why he did. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
it's okay. Let's all be cool. Let's all get along.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.